Hi, listeners. This is a quick thank you for listening and for your ongoing support. If you're enjoying the program, please consider clicking the follow or subscribe button if you haven't done so already. It really helps us out. There's no better way to support us than doing that or sharing the show with a friend, colleague, family member, or any new or expecting parent in your life. It's totally appreciated. On with the show. Hi, I'm Sarah Trott, and welcome to the Fourth Trimester Podcast. I'm a new mama, and this podcast is all about postpartum care for the first few months following birth, the time period also known as the fourth trimester. My postpartum doula, Esther Gallagher, is my co-host. She's a mother, grandmother, perinatal educator, birth and postpartum care provider. Fourth trimester care, our topic, is about the practical, emotional, and social support parents and baby require. And importantly, it helps set the tone for the continuing journey of parenting.
Hello again, it's Esther. Sadly, I'm without Sarah again, but I thought it was time to revisit nutrition and nourishment, and specific to that, anemia. I've touched on this in previous podcasts, but I think it's always an important thing for women in general and mothers in particular to revisit. Many women don't realize that they require about a 30% increase in their blood volume during pregnancy. And if that blood volume isn't well supported nutritionally, they will become anemic. They're sharing that blood supply with the growing newborn, and that growing newborn is going to need to set down a supply of iron in their own liver prior to birth that will last them 6 months. It's how we're made as human beings, probably mammals in general. And part of the reason is that milk is a rather low iron food. It's high in calcium and lots of protein and carbs and all that. But relative to our growth needs and our blood supply needs, it's low iron. And so babies get born with, hopefully, a good supply to draw from during their first 6 months before they start eating foods. This also protects them from botulism, because botulism likes to sort of set itself up on iron molecules. And so, it's important that babies actually aren't taking in a lot of iron in their first 6 months until their bodies are physiologically prepared to cope with all the kinds of things that might come in there into their mouth. So that iron rich, or I should like to say nutrient rich, blood building foods during pregnancy and in the postpartum recovery phase are very, very important. And I want to reiterate what builds a nice, strong red blood cell. What builds a nice, strong red blood cell is not only a good source of iron in the diet, but B12. B12 is very critical to building a good red blood cell. So if you're not getting adequate B12, or your body is not creating and absorbing B12 in appropriate amounts, then you will be anemic. Okay. Other things that go into a good red blood cell are the fat-soluble vitamins like vitamin E and A. So we need all of those. And of course, I know the vegetarians and vegans amongst you are tired of hearing this, and I don't blame you, but what's the food that has all of those factors in quantity? Red meat. So, if you're anemic, And you can digest red meat, and there are those people who don't do so very easily. But if you're pregnant or postpartum, you probably should be looking for ways to get all of these nutrients and making sure that there's no impediment to absorbing them. So for some of us, we're actually going to maybe need to be tested for what's called pernicious anemia, which is when our bodies aren't absorbing B12 properly, right? So we may need to be supplemented with B12 intravenously, like get a shot, basically. So that's something. It's rare, but it does exist in the world. And it's important to know whether or not that's a problem. If you constantly feel exhausted and depressed, before you take Prozac, you might want to get yourself checked for anemia and get your B12 levels, your blood circulating B12 levels checked. Okay. So since I like to address this podcast not only to pregnant and postpartum parents, but those of us who would like to be in support of those wonderful people in our lives, how can we look at this and be sensitive to this particular need for blood building nourishment? Let's start by kind of looking over the sorts of things that might result from anemia. Okay, and we'll talk specifically to the postpartum period, but let's not neglect how important it is to be addressing these things proactively during the pregnancy, early, mid-pregnancy, and late in pregnancy. As I always say to my prenatal clients, even though you got checked mid-pregnancy, and if you were anemic at the time, probably put on an iron supplement, that iron supplement may have been very, very hard for you to digest, and perhaps you needed something, a different approach, a more holistic approach. And in any case, just because you're taking that supplement doesn't mean that at the end of your pregnancy, you will necessarily not be anemic. So it's not a bad idea at the beginning of your sort of the 6-week stretch before giving birth to check again and see how you're doing and whether or not you're building blood, your blood supply the way that will be really, really important to you for giving birth and for your postpartum period. And remember, just because you go into labor not anemic doesn't mean you won't come out of labor anemic. If you have a blood loss that's significant, you may be starting your postpartum period anemic. And so we want to be mindful of blood building our whole lives. So I wanted to note for some of the signs that might alert us to anemia. So prenatally, if you were vomiting excessively and therefore couldn't keep down enough food to keep your blood supply healthy, that's going to be a red flag. If you just have poor nutrition, that's a red flag. If you had heavy periods before pregnancy, you may have become pregnant and started your pregnancy very anemic. That's a red flag. If you've been pregnant close together, if this is a second or third pregnancy close to the last pregnancy and didn't have a chance to build a good blood supply, you are likely anemic. If you're pregnant with multiples, you are very, very at risk for anemia. Your blood supply needs to be extra rich. And then Becoming pregnant as a teenager is a red flag for anemia, which is interesting. I'm glad to know this 40 years later, I was pregnant as a teenager and I was probably anemic. I'm very, very sure I was actually. And then, of course, if you've had an injury or surgery close to being pregnant or during your pregnancy, you may have had a blood loss that would alert you to needing to build your blood. Postpartum causes of anemia are prenatal anemia that went untreated, a blood loss that's beyond normal at delivery or in the first moments, hours, days, or weeks postpartum. So if you bled excessively at delivery or in the moments post-delivery, or find that you're having excessive or prolonged blood loss past the first 2 to 6 weeks, you might want to be checked. And as you know, I am always recommending that my clients, before going in for their 6 week obstetrical checkup or seeing their midwife for their 6 week checkup, get blood work done. And this is one of the parameters we're looking at. You just don't want to have to drag yourself through motherhood anemic. It's just too difficult. So we want to rule anemia out however we can. And of course, I'm sad I have to mention this, but poor nutrition in the postpartum period will lead to anemia. It will. I see it all the time. And, you know, it's so interesting how moms will be encouraged to eat really great during their pregnancy. And then when they're postpartum and they barely have the bandwidth to get food into themselves, let alone eat the food that somebody might bother to bring them and prepare for them, the food that's coming to them is really, really not nourishing food. They're expected to be living on baguettes and, chocolate or happily chocolate does have some iron in it, but it's not the way to stop being anemic. You know, you need really good sources of protein, fats, and the minerals that are in vegetables, root vegetables, particularly. Those are all of sort of the red flags for anemia. And, some of the ways that moms might be alerted to being anemic in the postpartum period would be shortness of breath. Okay, so after you've taken a full recovery in the first 2 to 6 weeks, if you're having difficulty walking up those stairs or walking at all, and you find that your heart races, you just feel short of breath, that's a red flag that you might be anemic. That's a serious red flag. For many of us, we don't realize that the fact that we lie down and our hearts start racing, and we feel anxious might be a signal that we are not just anxious, our bodies are anxious on our behalf and are telling us we need better nutrition. So, you know, mild sleep disorder might be a sign that you're anemic, even though this isn't a typical pink flag that is sent out. Naturally, just being exhausted all the time, while we could point to our lack of sleep, if we're sleeping when the baby sleeps and we're still just feeling like we're dragging ourselves around and just have very limited physical resource, we certainly need to be addressing this. So how do we get better nutrition to address anemia? Of course, I said red meat. It would be nice if that red meat is accompanied by root vegetables, leafy greens in massive quantities, usually cooked if possible, and with a source of vitamin C, citric acid or vinegar. So something that's rich in vitamin C is going to help us absorb the iron and B12 that we need from our foods.
Hi, listeners. I have some exciting news to share with you today. We've partnered with Every Mother, your go-to destination for evidence-based exercise therapy regimens. Whether you're dealing with diastasis recti, preparing for birth, or navigating postpartum recovery, Every Mother has your back. With personalized daily routines tailored to your core and pelvic floor needs, they're here to support you every step of the way. Say hello to a stronger, healthier you with Every Mother. Visit their website today and use code 4thTrimester10 for 10% off your personalized regimen. That's fourth spelled out, F-O-U-R-T-H, trimester10 for 10% off, because every mother deserves the very best.
If we're not eating red meat, and I will talk about sources of red meat that people might enjoy more than the ones that they're used to in a moment. But if we're not eating red meat, then certainly we need to be eating mineral-rich foods in quantity. So vegetables, particularly most root vegetables, leafy greens with vitamin C, and probably during pregnancy and the postpartum period, the breastfeeding period, probably supplements. So if you're vegetarian, eat a lot of eggs. Eat those eggs. They're a great source of everything that I'm talking about that aren't red meat, right? If you don't eat eggs and or you're vegan, then you're really going to have to look around. Beans, whole grains. These are okay sources. The thing they're completely lacking in is B12. The cool thing is that tempeh, which is a cultured bean and or grain product, it's cultured with a mold, a healthy, nutritious mold. That is a source of B12. Whether or not it's an adequate source, I wouldn't be able to tell you. A lot of people like to include nutritional yeast and or brewer's yeast in their diet, but B12 is actually added to those products. So that's great. And some people love those things, find them very nutritious. They can be constipating. So you need to be aware. You don't just want to eat a bunch of brewer's yeast all at once. You want to sprinkle it throughout your meals throughout the day. Sublingual B12 for those people who are lacking might be a way to supplement that will really, really help you quite a bit. And you should notice a difference in your mood and energy level if you're supplementing. If you're not noticing the difference, it may be that you need to be tested for pernicious anemia. And then finding supplements, iron supplements that aren't constipating. Okay, so there are liquid iron and B12 supplements at your natural food stores that are highly recommended for pregnant and postpartum women. Go check those out. See how you respond to them. Make sure you refrigerate them and don't swig from the bottle because they'll go bad. There's also an iron supplement that I found very, very helpful and very digestible, very non-constipating when I was severely anemic. And that is the supplement that's called iron bisglycinate. And I'm going to spell that. It's bisglycinate. BISGLYCINATE. This supplement is really well absorbed and not really hard on the gut. You have to take a lot of it. It's not, you know, like a power pill that's going to make you feel crappy, but probably will find a way to get your anemia status better. It's something that you're going to take all day long with your meals and snacks, and just keep it running into your digestive tract and helping you absorb and building that blood. Now, it's just iron. It doesn't necessarily have the B12 and the other wonderful nutrients with it. So you might want to really be looking into this, again, this holistic approach to building your blood. Those red meat options. Okay, here we go. Now, I think it's very important that we look for sources of meat, if we can find them and afford them, that are humanely and environmentally sustainably raised. And the reason for that is selfish. I think that the quality of meat, the levels of potential toxins in that meat is way better, way low. And I think that's important when we're pregnant and postpartum. So I personally am not a big fan of beef. I don't love the taste of it. I can't eat much of it because it just kind of isn't pleasant for me. But sustainably raised beef is a thing now. And if beef is your go-to, go for it. And if you will eat liver, more power to you. That liver packs the best punch for blood-building foods that exists, whatever animal you might get it from. I personally am a huge fan of organically raised, sustainably raised lamb's liver. They're smaller. They're richer. Lambs eat a lot of good stuff, not just grass. And so I like the idea that they're eating more of a holistic diet, if possible. But any animal that produces red meat. Now, if you just can't stomach red meat, but you'll eat poultry, then you should be eating those thighs. Forget that breast meat. It's kind of nice, but really, those thighs are going to pack just such a better punch. Also, when you buy a whole chicken, make sure they've left the liver and heart. And if you're the pregnant person, if you're the postpartum person, somebody should prepare those really deliciously for you. And those are yours to eat. So very, very, very important. And of course, let's not forget the fatty fish. If you can find healthy sources of that, environmentally appropriate sources for that, these two are going to be very, very important for blood building and brain building during your pregnancy. But let's not forget the good fruits, by the way. Figs. Now, I don't want pregnant moms and postpartum moms living on fruit, as you know. I think it should be a treat, but if we're giving a treat to somebody who we know needs to build blood, the treat should not be sugar. The treat should be healthy fruit, dates, figs. Black Mission figs are excellent. Maybe make a compote with organic apricots, dried figs, raisins, a little bit of cinnamon, and some lemon juice, and stew that up till it's nice and soft and easy to digest and hydrating, and give that to that new mom on a little bit of ice cream, maybe here and there, or just on her oatmeal in the morning. Okay. And so that's the way to get a little bit of sweetness into this mom's diet. And don't forget, when we're eating those strong proteins, that we need good stomach acid to properly digest them. So moms, do lightly salt your foods so that you can actually produce the hydrochloric acid that will break them down appropriately and help you absorb all the nutrients. Okay? All right. So I hope everyone's well. I hope those of you who see yourself as care providers understand why it's important to bring new parents nourishing, blood-building foods, and that when you bring those foods over, you will feel really good about how you are helping those new parents fortify themselves for the very, very intensive time they're spending being new parents for that new baby. All right, well, there we go. Hopefully you'll take the time to visit our website, fourthtrimesterpodcast.com, our Facebook page, Fourth Trimester Podcast, and our Patreon page, and consider supporting us with your donation and subscription. We love bringing you our knowledge and wonderful guest interviews and sometimes fun and hilarity. And we love hearing from you at our website and on our Facebook page with comments. And we hope to be able to continue bringing you shows that we hope you find valuable. All right. Well, take care till next time. Love you all. This is Esther Gallagher. Bye-bye.
You can subscribe to this podcast in order to hear more from us. Thank you for listening, everyone, and I hope you'll join us next time on the Fourth Trimester. The theme music on this podcast was created by Sean Trott. Hear more at soundcloud.com/SeanTrott. Special thanks to my true loves, my husband Ben, daughter Penelope, and baby girl Evelyn. Don't forget to share the Fourth Trimester podcast with any new and expecting parents. I'm Sarah Trott. Goodbye for now.
Hello again, Bicycle Man. I know you're doing all that you can. I wrote the song, simple and true. I wrote the song, I'll sing a song for you. You got your wheels, you got your gears. You ride around town without any fear. You got your pedals, you got your brakes. You always wear your helmet for safety's sake. Song for you.